Ooh, I think I got it on. Yes.
Life is good.
I know that it's not just me that thinks the switch on this microphone is counterintuitive, but because I see everybody else struggling with it as well. But every time I think I have devised a way to remember it, I second guess myself and revert back to shutting it off. Poor Vlad, I'm sorry. Whiteout. Get some whiteout and put a dot where it's supposed to. All right. Well, amen. It's good to see you here this morning. And it is a nice day out. Amen. It's good to be here. And if things are typical in your world, like I'm sure that they probably are, at least if not this morning, probably on a regular occasion, you probably face some sort of distraction or some sort of a trying moment in the process of trying to get here this morning. Oh, I don't know, maybe the clothes you wanted to wear, you know, maybe they were in the dirty clothes. It's amazing what the devil and the flesh will do to try to keep you from coming to church. It's amazing what the devil and the flesh will do to try to keep you away from the Word of God, to try to keep you out of fellowship with the saints. That song, For All the Saints, it really rang with me this morning. It was a real blessing. Thank you, Jeremy. But maybe, like I said, maybe you had something minor happen, like the clothes you were after were in the laundry, or maybe you could have had a fight with your parents, or maybe your kids, or maybe your spouse. Maybe you could have had car trouble on the way. You may have had stop and put in gas unexpectedly and been worried about being late. Maybe you could have just had an injury, physically or spiritually. And there's something along the way that just made it a little bit of a struggle just to get up, get out of bed, get ready, and drag yourself into church. Maybe it was just plain old exhaustion. Maybe you're just tired. You know? If you're like most people, those things happen on a regular basis. As many of you may have noticed, Aubrey slammed her thumb in the car the other day, last night when I was at work. I got a call. She thought she was going to get out of church this morning from slamming her thumb in the door. But we made her come anyway. But you know, the truth of the matter is, the flesh and the devil will sure throw a lot of obstacles against you to try to keep you from where you need to be. And certainly to try to keep you out of church. And brethren, it's good. It's just good to see a bunch of folks who overcame some of those things. And just actually showed up. Amen? It's good that you're here. It's good that you took the time, you put forth the energy, and you overcame the obstacles, and you've made it. Now I'd just like to ask one simple question, then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'd like to ask you one simple question. That is just simply this. What are you looking for this morning? You made it here. You went through who knows what and the frustrations and just the normal drudgery of getting out of bed when you wish you could have slept in, and you've made it, and you're sitting in the pew, and many of you were here for Sunday school, and I didn't catch all of it, but I caught the last part of it. Brother Dave was talking about faith and increasing your faith and holding on to your faith and maintaining your faith. And I wish I could have been here earlier, but you've already been challenged with that, and that was a good thing. It sounded like it's very complimentary to kind of what we're going to do here today. But the question I'd like you to ask you, and I'd like you to think about this morning, is just simply this. What are you looking for this morning? You're here, but what are you looking for? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this church, this congregation, this group of people that you've banded together, and you've given us a little bit of refuge from the world out there, and a lot of times, Father, even a little bit of refuge from our own selves. And we're grateful that you're our God. We're grateful that you've sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins on the cross, and that we, through faith, have got access to the Father. Lord, we're grateful that that you bless the things that we do in life, and that you care about us and love us. And I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds here once again to the Word of God. And Lord, that you'd give us something that we need here this morning as a congregation and as an individual. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, that's the title of the message here this morning, is What Are You Looking For? What are you looking for? I don't have anything real deep or real heavy here this morning. Just I've got four cases this morning that we're going to look at, or four groups of people or a person that we're going to take a look at this morning. And chances are, well, it's inevitable. You're going to fall into one of these four categories of people here this morning that we're going to look at. And as we're going through here, I just like you to sit back and, like I said, ponder to yourself. Okay, you went through all the trouble of getting here, all the rigmarole, whatever, you know, flat tire, car troubles, family troubles, you know, clothes troubles. You had a bad hair day, you know, your shoes were mismatched, you couldn't find your socks, whatever, you know, whatever the dilemma was. Maybe it was something minor, maybe it was something serious. But now that you're here, what are you here for? What are you looking for? Seriously, do you think about what you were looking for before you came this morning? So I just titled this message simply, What Are You Looking For? two of these categories that we're going to go over we're going to be considered good categories to be in. Two of them would be considered bad categories to be in. And I'd like you to just take a look and see. Open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 1. John chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. All right, so here in John chapter 5, you have the first category of individual or group that we're going to be talking about this morning. And that's just simply this. You have this man here who was... he was withered, and he couldn't walk. He had trouble getting around. It says in there that he had been in that condition for 38 years. Brethren, 38 years with this infirmity. 38 years. And you know what he was looking for? He was looking for some healing. Brethren, he had been carrying around this burden, this trouble, he had been carrying around this thing that affected every aspect of his life for 38 years. There were just things that he couldn't do because of this infirmity that he had. It always seemed to get in the way. Every time he tried to do something, every time he tried to, get out and take care of some of the normal things in life, this infirmity would always pop itself up in front of his face. Every time he wanted to do something, this infirmity would pop itself up in front of his face. And he would come to the realization, I can't do that. Or he'd think to himself, I'm not good enough to do that. I can't make that happen. And he had been in this condition for 38 years. Now, I don't know how often the angel came down to that pool. It doesn't really say. I don't know. Did the angel come down to the pool, what, once a year, once a month, once every other week, once every 3 weeks? Was it a random event? I don't know how often the angel came down to the pool. I know there was a lot of people sitting around waiting for it. So my guess is it probably happened more than, once every 10 years. My guess is it probably happened on a relatively regular basis. But he was sitting there and he was waiting for the angel to come down and stir the water in this pool. And this guy had been in this condition for 38 years. He'd been struggling with this infirmity. And another thing that I don't know about when I was reading through this is I don't know how long had this man been actually coming down to the pool there at Bethesda. Now, he had the infirmity for 38 years, but how long had he actually been coming down to the pool to try to get healed? It doesn't really say. Now, I imagine, reading through the text, I kind of get the impression that it had been a long time. It's not like he had tried once or twice and this was the second time and, you know, he was getting ready to give up. The impression that I get reading through this passage of Scripture is he had had this infirmity for 38 years, and for a long, long time, a goodly number of years, this man had been going down to the pool waiting for the turning of the water, for the angel to show up. And brethren, every time he went down to that pool, you know what he was faced with? He was faced with, even if the water gets turned, I can't get down to it. Even if the angel comes down and stirs up this pool while I'm sitting here, I can't make it down to the pool. But yet, he was still going down there. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm sitting there reading through this passage and I'm going, why bother? 38 years you've been like this. You've been going down to this pool for who knows how long trying to get rid of your infirmity. And as far as you can tell, there's absolutely no way at all that you can get rid of your infirmity. But yet you go down to the pool anyway. And I go back to the title of the message. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? And I look out amongst the congregation, and I know most of you folks, and my original intent of this thing is this is kind of a picture of a sinner that needs to be forgiven. Amen? This is a picture of a sinner who's on his way to hell, who, if he was to leave this place this afternoon and head home and he was to die, that before his heart quit beating, right as his heart took that last beat, he'd wake up in a sinner's hell. But you know, this can also be applied to a Christian. There are some infirmities that we carry around with us for years and years and years and years, and there are some infirmities that hinder us from doing what we ought to be doing. And there are some infirmities that we have that we're so tired of and we can't get rid of, and we fight and we battle and we struggle and we're there. And you know what we keep doing? We keep coming down to the pool. We keep coming to church. Amen? You're here this morning. Right? And in the back of your mind, you want to say to yourself, what's the use? Why even bother? I go to church. I've been going to church. I can't get rid of my infirmity. In fact, when I go to church, even if the answer comes along, I'm not going to be able to get down there and get it because somebody's going to run in front of me and get there before I can. But yet this guy keeps coming down. He's still coming down to the pool at Bethesda. He keeps showing up. And I wonder, what's going through his mind when he heads down there the last time, or the time before this, or the time before this? I wonder if he honestly thought that he was going to make it first, or if he just went down there because, you know what? What else is he going to do? This guy had been in this condition for 38 years. Like I said, this is a type of a sinner, somebody who's lost on their way to hell, and they don't really have an answer. They can try everything they want to heal themselves of their sin, but it's not going to happen. He's helpless. He's unable to cure himself. Like I said, if you are here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're kind of like this man with this infirmity, and your sin is a burden larger than you can take care of. And you've had it all your life, since you were old enough to realize what it was. And here you sit and you struggle and you fight and you're looking for an answer, but you don't think there's an answer. And then up shows Jesus Christ. Amen? Then up shows Jesus Christ. And you know what the blessing is about this man here? The blessing about this man is that one of the most beautiful things about this man is that he knew his need. He wasn't fighting it. He wasn't arguing. Jesus Christ shows up to him by the pool, and he says to him, "Sir, I have no man." When the water's stirred, somebody always gets down there before I do. But the thing about this guy, is he kept showing up. He kept going down to that pool. And you know what? Had he decided to stay home that day, none of this would have happened. Had he let some of the cares of the world or some of the little trials that seem to try to drag us away from church or seem to try to drag us away from our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, had he let some of those things happen, he never would have met the Lord Jesus Christ that day. But brethren, I imagine after about 36 and a half years, he's pretty tired trying to go down to the pool to see the same thing happen over and over and over. Pretty tired of experiencing failure. And that's how we get sometimes. If you're lost, you can try whatever you want to take care of your sin. All you're going to do is experience failure. But if you're saved, if you're a Christian, sometimes you have infirmities that you fight with and struggle with. And for years and years, and you don't think there's an answer. You don't think there's any hope. I've been to church. I've read that passage of Scripture before. Oh, yeah, I memorized that passage of Scripture to try to get rid of my problem. And it's still there. You got this infirmity, and it's just hanging on, and it won't let go. What are you looking for this morning? What are you looking for? Why are you here? Why are you here? Jesus Christ comes along and he simply says, this young man just simply says, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm tired. I'm alone. I'm on my own. I can't make it down to the pool. And he realizes that's his condition. And then the Lord reaches in and says, take up thy bed and walk. And the Lord gives him deliverance in an unexpected way. And the Lord actually cures his infirmity. Hey, what are you looking for this morning? You looking for an opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and maybe touch your heart in a way that you didn't expect? Because it can happen. Now pray that it doesn't take 38 years. Okay? But it can certainly happen. It can certainly happen. Jesus Christ came to him that day and he says, I am your healing. Jesus Christ came to that man that had that infirmity. And see, what he said was, I am what you're looking for. I'm the answer to what you've been looking for these 30 plus years. And you know what? This guy was just fed up enough with being in his condition that he just believed him. And what a thing. What a thing. Let's move on before we run out of time here. Second category, take a look over at verse 15. Take a look over at verse 15. You're relatively familiar with the passage and you kind of know what's going on, but down in verse 15, this man had been healed and he got up and he walked away, and of course, you know, some of the Jews, the Pharisees and scribes saw him and said, hey, what are you doing carrying your bed around on the Sabbath? You're breaking the law. What are you doing? So we pick the narrative up in verse 15. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So I ask you the question, what are you looking for this morning? So we come to the second category of people. And the second category of people is a bunch of Jews, probably religious leaders and stuff that were around. And they saw this man carrying his bed away from the pool, and it was a Sabbath day. And they looked at him and said, wait a minute, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And these Jews, they were sitting around, you know, they thought they were looking for God. They were trying to do right. You know the story, you know how they were. They had all the rules down. They had everything in this nice, neat little box. And you don't break this rule, you don't break that rule. And I know what the law says. And I've got the Torah, and all the rabbis have given their commentaries on the Torah. And I know the way things are supposed to be in the spiritual realm. And you're doing something that's outside of this box that I see. And they thought they were looking for God. And I see a lot of people in religious circles that think that they have the right answers about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You see a lot of people, and you turn on the radio, and every now and then you hear some preacher get on the radio, and he's got all kinds of crazy things that that he thinks and that he says. And the bottom line is, they think they're looking for God. But you know what? They wouldn't change their mind. They wouldn't change their heart if God Himself was standing there right next to them. You know, that's the way we get sometimes. I was debating whether I was going to do this or not. This is completely random and unrelated to anything at all. But I'll give you an example just because, I don't know. I'm looking for it. Okay, so you guys know I do martial arts, right? One of the things that we do in martial arts is judging. So I'm responsible for training all these black belts how to judge in the ring. And there's always debates and everything going on. And you guys can figure this out pretty simple, right? Because you guys are smarter than a lot of the masters I have to work with. We've got five judges in a ring. So I've got, you know, let's say I've got two competitors, a red and blue. Not a problem. So I've got five judges in a ring, and they all get to cast a vote as to what they think happened. And then you get to decide from those votes how this outcome is. So if I've got, for example, a red, a no point, and a blue, obviously red's going to get the point, right? You say, what on earth has this got to do with anything at all? You'll see in a second. Well, every once in a while, a judge can't see what happened, so he kind of disqualifies himself. So we don't count him. So the center judge, let's say, just disqualifies himself. He says, wait a minute, I missed it. I didn't see what was going on. He disqualifies himself from making a call because he didn't see what happened. And let's say the other two say red, blue. Well, no point. We can't make a decision off that one, right? So let's say red, no point. The ultimate decision is what? No point. Right? Two say no point, two say point for red. So this right here, the ultimate decision is no point. There's one scenario that I've been arguing for like 10 years now. And that is, the only thing that changes is this judge right here says, blue got a point. You guys are geniuses, I can tell. What should the outcome be? No point. Right? You guys are smarter than 6th, 7th, and 8th degree black belts in my organization. Because somehow or another, a group of those senior guys got up and said, that's a point for red. You say, Brother Grissom, what on earth does that have to do with anything at all? I'll tell you what that has to do with, and that is this. You know what? Just like these Jews, they get something in their mind. And they think they've got it right. And if it doesn't fit into their little box, they reject it altogether. And I got a bunch of senior masters. In fact, that's in the rule book that way, because there's enough of those senior masters that got together and they kind of did all this. And it doesn't make any sense. I talked to the association lawyer. I was just talking about the rule book that they were making. I was going, trying to explain my position, and she says, I couldn't defend that decision in court. But yet, brethren, that's the way we are when it comes to religious things. That's the way people are. We get our mind set on something, we get our eyes focused on one way, you know, we're going to baptize babies. Boom. Nothing else matters. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, doesn't matter anything else. Listen, here's the second category of people. Second category of people are these Jews. And you know what? They're looking for God. They're looking for God. But they're not willing to recognize Him when He shows up. He's standing right there in front of them. And they don't get it. This is plain as day. And I ask you, what are you looking for this morning? What are you looking for this morning? You came to church, what are you looking for? The man with the infirmity is looking for relief from his infirmity. These guys, you know, they're holy, they're spiritual, they think they've got it all together. But they don't recognize God when He shows up. Let me ask you this. When you came in and you showed up this morning, and you say you're looking for God, will you recognize Him if He shows up? Or have you made the simple mistake that humans, we all make that same mistake, and Brother Steve and I were talking in the back there, just how easy it is to point out to one person a particular, you know, mistake or problem or trouble that they're making. And then when you get to thinking about it, you realize, oh yeah, I'm doing the very same thing in this area of my life, in this area of my life, and in this area of my life. We're the same. Second category of people is just simply this. They show up, they're looking for God in their mind, but they miss Him. They miss Him. Sometimes God does things in your life, and sometimes God arranges circumstances in your life, and sometimes the Lord changes things around and you know, tries to get your attention, and just like those senior masters, you miss it because you don't realize what He's trying to do. If you're lost here this morning, you may say, I'm a spiritual person. I have my own church. I'll find God my own way. You miss it. But if you're saved here this morning, you're a Christian, you might be searching for something in a way that you need to step back and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want exactly? I'm tired of doing this my own way. I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you tell me how to do it. What a blessing. You know what Jesus Christ said to that group of people when He showed up? Jesus Christ showed to that people who were searching for God. They were looking for God. The man with the infirmity was looking for healing. Basically, He said to him, I'm your healing. These people were looking for God. Jesus Christ shows up, and you know what He said to them? I'm your God. Whoa! No, you're not! What do you mean? There's no way. But you know what? He was their God. They were looking for Him, but they missed Him. They missed Him. Let's move on. Again, I ask you the simple question. What are you looking for this morning? All the rigmarole of trying to get here and the trials and the heartaches and, you know, all the little things that could have happened to keep you away and all the excuses. They sing that song in the, you know, I don't know if they still sing it back there in the Sunday school class or not, but excuses, you'll hear them every day. You know, the devil will supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. Remember that song? You guys still sing that back there? Sometimes? Okay, amen. See, I still remember that song. I remember singing it with my kids. But why are you here? You overcame the excuses. You overcame the obstacles. Now, what are you looking for? Guys, what are you looking for? What do you expect the Lord Jesus Christ to have for you this morning? Let's move on here and let's look at a third category. Let's look up at chapter 6. Turn over to chapter 6 and we'll start in verse 1. We got another category of people here. We had the man with the infirmity looking for healing. We had the Jews looking for God. Now we got a multitude. Chapter 6, let's start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So here you have another category of people. You got the multitude, and they're following Jesus around. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for bread. In fact, take a look down in verse 26. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, this group of people came, and they were looking to Jesus Christ because they had needs. They had physical needs. Right? There were things in this life that they needed. For us, you know, maybe, Lord, please pay the car payment next month. Lord, please help me pay rent. You know, Lord, we need food next week in the, in the refrigerator. Lord, I've got this problem. I've got this issue. I've got all these things that I need. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to pray and ask God to help me. This other category of people, take the multitude, they came to Jesus Christ, and they came because they had a need. They were looking for bread. They were looking for bread. And a lot of them, in fact, let's go back to the passage. Take a look down at verse 51. Let's finish this up real quick. Take a look down at verse 51. Jesus Christ said to them in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh which I give for the whole world, or give for the life of the whole world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So again, what are you looking for here today? Jesus Christ shows up and the multitude come out to him and they're hungry and he gives them bread. They go, whoa, that's a good deal. And they start following Jesus. And they follow Jesus because, you know what? They follow Jesus because they have needs and they want those needs to be met. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But they got their mind switched around. And the purpose of following Jesus Christ was so that they could get what they wanted. Like I said, why are you here this morning? I know a lot of people. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of saved people, a lot of lost people. When they get down and when things start going bad and when things are, things are kind of tiresome and weary and troublesome, and when things start falling apart, all of a sudden they start seeking Jesus. All of a sudden they start showing up to church. All of a sudden they start looking for relief. They're looking for some answers. Hey, listen, the problem is, you know what? This life does get rocky. This life is going to throw you into a downward spiral every once in a while, and you're going to be in a place where you've got needs far greater than you can ever imagine ever being satisfied. This life is going to take you and turn you upside down and shake every penny that you have out of your pocket. This life is going to take you up and dump you off and make you feel, isolated and alone. This life is going to take you and it's going to throw you some pain. You're going to be hurt. This multitude went to Jesus Christ because they had needs. You're going to be thrown in a condition, you're going to be thrown into a state in your life where you've got needs. You're hurt. You're lonely. You got things going on in your life that nobody, you know, nobody can seem to take care of. And you turn to Jesus Christ to look for answers. And that's good. That is where you should turn. Listen, I look out, I see people going through things that would make a strong man quit the Christian life. You see, the multitude, they were following Jesus Christ because they needed Him. They needed something. And that's, like I said, that's a good thing. Maybe that's why you came this morning. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe you need something. And then the Lord Jesus Christ turns things around in him. He says, now listen, I know that you need this. But don't forget who I am. In essence, I know you have needs. I know you're going through something tough. I know you're going through trials. I know you're going through things that'll make a strong man quit or want to quit the race. I know you're going through some things that, you know, other people don't know anything about, and you have to battle with them within your own brain, within your own mind, within your own heart. And I know you're going through all those things, and I know it hurts. And I know there's pain. And I know you're lonely. And I know you're discouraged. And I know you're hungry. And I know you need fed. And he says to them, I am the bread. They were looking for bread. I am the bread. But he also kind of reminds them, don't think that's all that I am. I'm much bigger than what your needs are right now. And the problem with the multitude is they got to looking at Jesus Christ like he's the answer for bread. And they missed that he was the bread of life, the real bread. And sometimes we get so consumed in our problems, sometimes we get so drugged down by the drudgery of life, sometimes we get so hurt by the pain that we have to go through and suffer and endure, that sometimes we forget just how great the Lord Jesus Christ really is. All we want is a little bit of relief, the bread. And we lose focus on who God really is. Listen, God is God, whether He gives us bread or not. God is God, whether He makes us go through this this trial or this temptation for 3 more days, 3 more weeks, 3 more years, or 3 more decades. And the problem with the multitude is they got to looking at Jesus Christ superficially. And he realized that. He picked up on that. And then he turned things around and he said to them, I am the bread of life. You have to eat my flesh. And all of a sudden they go, wait a minute. What is this guy talking about? I didn't sign up for that. Because they lost sight of who he really was. They were just looking for things superficially. Now they're faced with a dilemma, and the Lord Jesus Christ starts testing their heart and says, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? He says, you didn't follow me to see the miracles. You followed me because I gave you bread. What are you looking for? Why are you following Jesus Christ? Because see, when the multitude got put into that place, when the multitude got stuck into that position, and now all of a sudden he's trying to talk to them about, I am the living bread. You have to eat my flesh. All of a sudden things got to be a little too much for them to handle. Right? Things got to be a little too much for him to handle. And down in verse 60, and many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Why are you here? Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with going to Jesus Christ because you have needs. That's what he's there for. He's our bread. These guys were looking for bread. Don't ever make the mistake of being shallow and thinking that all Jesus Christ is physical bread. Because he's so much more than that to you. There's so much more to who he is than just, oh, he gave me bread and now my stomach's full, I'm happy. And he saw that and he threw them into a little tizzy when he told them that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they didn't understand what was going on. And listen, it became too much for them to handle. And they looked at that and they go, this is a hard saying. Who can handle this? And Jesus Christ looked at him and says, does this offend you? Listen, the multitude, you know what their problem was? Their problem was they looked at Jesus Christ a little too superficially. They had needs, yes. Nothing wrong with that. By all means, take your needs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is your bread. The Lord Jesus Christ can fulfill and provide any of your needs that you have. But don't ever forget, fulfilling the need is not the reason why we follow Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ just to get bread, whatever that bread may be for you, that's not the reason why we follow Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ because he's God. We follow Jesus Christ because he's the bread of life. Unfortunately, for many of the multitude, they miss that. They miss that. And it says in John chapter 6, many of his disciples left him that day. Not the lost Jews. It says many of his disciples left him that day. Why? Because they lost sight of who he really was. They let something petty like, well, I didn't get what I needed, so I'm not going to be faithful to God anymore, get in the way. Don't take this wrong, because I know it's not petty. I know it's not. But they let something petty, like a physical disease, like real trouble in life, like a huge trial. They let something petty, like a major problem, keep them from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean your problems are petty. But in the grand scheme of things, they're petty. In the grand scheme of things, they're petty. You say, it's more than I can bear. Yeah, I know it is. It's real. Yes, it is. But see, they forgot who Jesus Christ was because they were too focused on their problems. Jesus Christ said to them, they were looking for bread. Jesus Christ said, I am your bread. Unfortunately for many of them, they missed it, and that wasn't enough. So again, I ask you this morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Let's go to the final category of people, and we find it down here in verse 66. 66, same scenarios going on. Everybody's trying to figure out, hey, what's going on here? In verse 66, the Bible says this: from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You understand, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ is putting this multitude, this group of people who's disciples, and especially in this case, the 12 apostles, he's putting them through just about to the limits. And he's letting them go through this battle. He's allowing them to go through the battle and struggle with it and fight with it. And the ones that are looking for bread, he says, I'm your bread. But they missed it. They didn't accept that he was what they needed. They were just looking for something superficial. Now he gets down to the last group, the 12 disciples. And he says to them, He says to them, will ye also go away? And I ask you this morning, what are you looking for? You know, a lot of people left the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people have fallen back because of the pain, the hurt, the trials, the things they go through in life. And the Lord Jesus Christ took this multitude through that whole sequence of events. A lot of them left when they shouldn't have, because they didn't have the foresight to see who God really was. They were too interested in just the physical petty things. They let something petty take them away from the answer, from their real bread. And when that happened, a bunch of them left, the multitude left, and then he turns to the 12 disciples and he says, will ye also leave? Like I said, you made it here this morning. You overcame what you had to overcome. You went through the struggles, the trials, and I don't know if you've been battling with something for 37, 38 years. You know, I don't know how long it's been. But the Lord Jesus Christ looks out to you this morning and says, will ye also leave? Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter, of course, verse 68, answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? And I just ask you this morning, what are you looking for? Because to the man with the infirmity who needed healing, Jesus Christ was the healing. To those Jews who were looking for God, Jesus Christ was God. To the multitude who was looking for bread, Jesus Christ was the bread. To his 12 disciples here, who, listen, they're struggling with everything just like the rest of the multitude was. They're trying to figure it out also. They don't understand what's going on. They're looking at him probably like he's kind of crazy too. What do you mean? I've got to eat your flesh. And he looks at them and he says, I keep saying it wrong. Will ye also go away? And you're sitting here talking about the multitude and, you know, you wonder, why didn't the 12 go out and rally the troops? Why didn't the 12 go out when the multitude was there and say, no, wait, stop, guys, stop. He's the answer. Let's rally around Jesus Christ. Why didn't the 12 step up and through all this time before the multitude leaves, all the other disciples take off, say, come on, guys, let's get this thing together. Let's keep this rolling, right? Let's hang in there. Because the 12 disciples are sitting there, you know what? They don't understand what's going on either. They're struggling with it just like the rest of the multitude. Will ye also go away? The difference is the 12 sit back and they're trying to figure this out. They don't necessarily have the energy or the strength to go rally the rest of the multitude that's leaving. I mean, they're sitting back going, Lord, I don't get this. What is going on? And the difference is Simon Peter pops up and even though he didn't get it, and even though he didn't know what was going on, and even though he didn't have the answers, and even though he may not have had the strength to go rally somebody else and rally the troops and keep the multitude from going away, Simon Peter pops up and he says one of the most amazing things in the Bible. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And I ask you this, why'd you come here this morning? That multitude was in a place where they were, I mean, as far as they were concerned, destitute. This guy's crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. Why is everything happening? Everything's falling apart. And Simon Peter pops up, and in the midst of all that turmoil, in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all those things that he himself did not understand, he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and he gives up. And he says, Lord, where else am I going to go? And I ask you the question. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people going through stuff. Maybe you're going through stuff. Maybe you are at the, you know, the end of your rope. Maybe you are sitting there and maybe you think, how you should just jump over the cliff. Let me ask you this. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? There's nowhere else to go. And Peter, even though he didn't understand what was going on, even though he was just as confused as the rest of the multitude, even though he was probably just as terrified, just as unsure, he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, where else am I going to go? And you know what? For a little while, I don't know how long, but for a little while, that ought to be our mantra. Lord, where else am I going to go? You say, why'd you come to church this morning? Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? And maybe you're at a point in life where you just need to hold on to that. Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? And you know what? That'll need to be sufficient for a while. There will be times in life where that will need to be sufficient. It'll need to be sufficient to get you through what you're going through, just to be able to sit back and say, okay, Lord, where else am I going to go? That may have to be enough. Now, the beauty is, later on down the road, those disciples turn into something much stronger and much greater. Later on down the road, Simon Peter turns into something much stronger and much greater. But it takes some time. But the Lord even took Peter to, where else am I going to go? And He'll take you there too. He'll take you there too. Listen, in spite of all life's problems, in spite of everything you're going through, the man with an infirmity was looking for healing. Jesus Christ was the healing. The Jews were looking for God. Jesus Christ was their God. The multitude was looking for bread, whatever needs they had. Jesus Christ was their bread. These disciples, they were just looking for the truth. They were looking for direction. Where do we go? Later on, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, in each and every case, in these four categories, Jesus Christ was the answer. Now, two of the groups managed to see that and hold on. But two groups didn't see that. Two of the groups missed it altogether. And they missed who Jesus Christ really was. Wrapping things up here this morning, I'd just like to bring one more thing to your attention, and that is this, in conclusion here. Each one of those groups was faced with a question. Each one of those groups was faced with a question. And you'll have to answer probably every one of these questions at some point in time or another. The first group, or the first man, Jesus Christ asked him simply, wilt thou be made whole? 38 years with an infirmity, there he sits. And you know what he asks him? Wilt thou be made whole? Second group, he asked them in verse 44, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? That second group, they just had to struggle with pride. And Jesus Christ asks them a question directly. How are you going to do it, guys? They failed their question. The third group, the multitude, Jesus Christ asked them the question, doth this offend you? I mean, imagine all that, going through what he went through. Just tell him, you got to eat my flesh. They're looking at him like he's crazy, and he looks at him square in the eye and goes, does this offend you? They had to face that question. And finally, to the disciples, he said, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? The four questions you got to ask yourself, right? Wilt thou be made whole? How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Doth this offend you? And finally, will ye also go away? So there's four groups of people here in John chapter 5 and John chapter 6 that had to face this whole thing with Jesus Christ. And I just ask you this morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because everything they were looking for, the answer was Jesus Christ. Two groups realized it, two groups didn't, but the answer was Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to say this morning before we bow our heads in prayer is this, whatever you're looking for, Jesus Christ is the answer for that as well. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being who you are. Father, you are everything that we need. You are the healing. Father, you are God. You are the bread. You are the way, the truth, the life. And Lord, sometimes we get wrapped up in the cares and the turmoils that we experience down here in this life. And every once in a while, we lose sight of that. But I pray that you'd refocus our hearts, refocus our minds, and help us to realize just who you are. And Father, you are everything that we need. We just need to open our eyes and see that. I pray that you'd be with your people, that you'd comfort them, and Father, that you'd meet their needs. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll turn our hymnal to number 216. We already prayed. You're dismissed. See you back here this evening. Amen. Have a good afternoon.